Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Prosper.com, America's marketplace for people-to-people loans. Prosper.com, where you can compete to bid on loans to fellow Americans.
We. Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
17 Wii's a second. That's how many of the coveted Nintendo game machines Amazon.com sold this holiday season, when they had them in stock. The Wii was just one reason online retailer Amazon reported its best Christmas ever. That news sent its stock zooming 2%. Otherwise, on Wall Street Wednesday, the Dow was up 2 to 13,551, the NASDAQ was up 10 to 2724, and the S&P was up a point. Despite the gloomy economic news this year, it hasn't been so hot for bear market investors, Marketplace's Steve Tripoli reports.
Bear market mutual funds have trailed all mutual fund returns by a hefty 11 percentage points this year. Doug Cass of the Seabreeze Partners hedge fund says economic optimists shouldn't expect that to continue.
Most market participants have their head in the sand with regard to the economy's future prospects.
Cass says people who think this year's economic storms have passed are wrong. He says fallout from the debt crisis will collide with economic stimulus measures aimed at easing the pain.
I see a lot of the tailwinds to growth coupled with the unusual nature of the buildup of debt as contributing to a prospective environment which I would describe as blahflation, blah economic growth, coupled with persistently high inflation.
Optimists see buying opportunities in markets that have already priced in bad news. But Cass says many of those same folks were wrong about home prices holding up and will be proven wrong about the staying power of consumer spending. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Imagine this happening in the United States. Starting next week, all listed companies in Norway will be forced to fill 40% of their boardroom posts with women. From our European desk in London, Stephen Beard reports.
The Norwegian government has applied its boot to the male seat of power in the boardrooms of Norway. Male directors in listed companies have been told, recruit more women or else. If less than 40% of their board is female, by January the 1st, the company could be shut down. The threat was introduced by a law passed 4 years ago. With the deadline looming next Monday, the measure seems to have proved effective. Marit Hoel of Norway's Centre for Corporate Diversity.
We have the highest number of women board directors in the world, and it has quadrupled in less than 5 years.
Only a handful of companies are expected to defy the law next week. Norway's listed company boards are now almost 40% female. That compares with 15% in the United States. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report, this Thursday, December 27th on marketplace.org. Japan's new prime minister visits China today. There will be lots of talk about warming relations, but one of the stickiest issues remains a territorial dispute over boundary waters and who owns the natural gas that lies beneath. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Where is the ocean boundary? That's the dispute between Japan and China. Japan says it's more toward the China side, and it wants to drill for natural gas near its version of the line. David Zweig is with the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology.
If it drills at that point, China is concerned that the gas that it will be sucking out actually lies on China's side.
In fact, each side thinks the other is pilfering, or will be. Japan and China have met 11 times on this dispute, and 11 times they have failed to cut a deal.
When there is no progress, then both sides sort of play around with each other militarily.
Which gets dangerous, he says, because both countries now have pretty good navies. It's not clear how much natural gas lies beneath the disputed waters, but any amount is critical. Japan is the world's number two leading importer of oil and gas, and China is number three. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Wednesday's reading on home prices was a shocker. Nationally, home values posted their largest drop in more than 15 years during October. True in all but three cities: Charlotte, North Carolina, Portland, Oregon, and Seattle. From KUOW in Seattle, Phyllis Fletcher has more.
What kind of place can resist a national housing slump?
Places where people are happy to come, a very active cultural life, for example, easy access to the outdoor activities.
Michael Parks has studied and written about the economy in Seattle for 30 years. He says the region's allure isn't all play. The strong tech industry gives cities in the Northwest some juice.
They're hot, to use an overused word.
He says things that seem bad for everyone else can be good for Washington State. The dollar is low, but that helps the large export business in Washington. Gas is high, but that helps Boeing. It's trying to build a fuel-efficient plane.
The strong economy in Washington State has kept housing prices increasing throughout the Pacific Northwest.
Still, Seattle isn't totally immune to subprime woes. Foreclosures have doubled in the past year. I'm Phyllis Fletcher for Marketplace.
All week we've been talking to our reporters around the world about the beats they cover every day. Today, a conversation with Dan Gretsch, our America's correspondent, on the topic of immigration. He comes to us via WLRN in Miami.
This was supposed to be the year of comprehensive immigration reform, and it turned into the year of the crackdown on illegal immigrants. And when you listen to the presidential debates, the number one topic of conversation is greater enforcement at the border and an increased crackdown in the year to come of illegal immigrants in the U.S. economy.
We've had lots of talk, like you say, and lots of bravado, but has there been any indication that any of this is working?
There's been a mixed record there. One of the trends that we're seeing now is that businesses are being asked to enforce the United States' immigration laws. A great example of that was the Social Security number crackdown. What typically has happened is illegal immigrants have given false Social Security numbers and businesses kind of looked the other way and employed them. But when the Bush administration asked businesses to actually start enforcing the no matches that they're finding in the database, businesses pushed back. They said that it would be too much money and too difficult, and it would put at risk legal immigrants or legal native-born Americans who were also going to be ensnared in the crackdown.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that's happened this year is we've tightened border security. But one of the things that's interesting is that economists have found that lower apprehensions are directly tied to a slowdowns in the economy. And so what really might be happening is that it's not a better border security, but a slower economy that's causing fewer immigrants to try to cross.
Dan, it seems like the government is saying, we're not so sure how we can handle this. So they're shifting the responsibility onto the businesses, which, as you say, have been complicit in all of this. A lot of winking and nodding going on. But how has this affected businesses?
Well, I think a lot of businesses are in fear. What increasingly is emerging is that native-born Americans simply are unwilling to do the kind of back-breaking farm work, no matter the price. If you were willing to pay people enormous amounts of money to pick crops, it would increase food prices astronomically.
Let's talk for a minute about remittances, which I guess have flattened out for Latin America for the first time in years. What does that mean?
Well, remittances have traditionally undergirded many of the economies, particularly in Mexico and Central America and the Caribbean, and were growing at incredible paces and totaling $40 billion for the region. What happened this year is, for the first time in a decade, remittances flattened out. The reason remittances are going down is because the U.S. economy is slowing, and what that means is literally millions of poor people around the world are feeling the effects of that.
That's our Dan Gretsch in Miami with a year-end look at immigration. Some news now to temper the headlines about the continuing decline in housing prices. Guess where there's a boom? Vegas. In October alone, gambling revenues for some of the biggest casinos were up nearly 20% over the same time last year. High-rolling Asian tourists are partially behind the surge. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Have a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.